Chelsea fans, welcome back to another week of Chelsea Chat with me, Moose, and JB. We welcome to an eventful week in the Chelsea sort of community. We're going to kick off the week with sort of obviously the news about Lampard, our thoughts around this, what we felt went wrong, what were the reasons why. Welcoming in Tuchel and the Tuchel Chelsea Chat, or Tuchel Chat, whatever anyone wants to go with. The first two games of the Tuchel era, and looking forward to sort of the next few games around how he's going to line up. Don't forget to like, subscribe, hit the bell notification, and comment below as to your thoughts, especially around Lampard and the appointment of Tuchel. So, Jamie, we joked there's not much happened in the Chelsea calendar this week, but
it's been quiet, isn't it?
Nothing. I've been podcast.
Desperately kind of trying to find something to talk about today. It's been very quiet. No, it was
dry week.
Just after we posted our podcast last week, then the news started to break. I was seeing kind of everywhere on Twitter, Lampard's getting sacked today. And regretfully, it did happen kind of Monday afternoon. And then I think, what was it, Tuesday evening, Tuchel was announced. So yeah, very eventful, and then we had two games since as well, so lots to cover.
I mean, I'm going to start off, I'm absolutely gutted. For me, Lampard was my favourite player growing up, absolute legend on the pitch, and there was the start of becoming a legend off the pitch as well. And as a fan, it's been one of those weeks where literally it's changed my whole mood. Sort of just watching, like we talked on the podcast last week around sort of, we think he's got another chance in him. He's not sort of dead and buried. There's no sort of call through his head. There seems to have been a lot going on at the top of the tree in the sort of the Chelsea executive lounge. And it's just gutting. I think sort of, I personally feel if the fans had been in the sort of stadiums, you'd have heard a very different sentiment as to what's going on. I think sort of it's difficult to gauge it because you're having to look on social media, you're having to look in sort of the Chelsea sort of fan groups, etc., to try and gauge sort of people's temperament towards this. But for me, absolutely gutted. I felt he had the sort of the chance to become that legend if the board had just backed him a little bit more. We were on a complete poor run of games. We were struggling for form in a number of players. Should he have sort of changed up the squad a little bit? Should he have given more opportunities to the players? Probably. But personally, I just don't think it was the right decision to sack him. I don't know what your thoughts were, but I was gutted.
I felt like I'd gone for a breakup on Monday, honestly. It was just like one of those, you know, like just kind of moping around, like devastated, upset. It was very, very sad day. But I agree. Obviously, I didn't expect it. I think I thought that considering, you know, they brought in a manager who had no experience, who was young, who was a legend, that I thought they must have believed in his plan, you know, whatever he kind of had in mind, whatever he'd sold to them at the time, they must have believed in him to give him that job. I kind of thought, well, with this kind of appointment, perhaps they're trying to change their ways. They're trying to act in a different way for once and stick with the manager and see out his ideas. But it's typical of our hierarchy. They itchy trigger fingers and a run of bad results kind of did it. And I think from, you know, reading the rumors and stuff like that, it sounds very much like from January last year, they kind of started to get a bit fed up with him because he was desperate for us to bring in a striker. You know, he wanted Aubameyang, he wanted Cavani, he wanted Mertens, he wanted any of those. He just wanted to bring in another striker to help us out. And obviously the board didn't do that. They wanted to wait until the summer to bring in Werner. So just tensions started to kind of build from there, and it sounds like they were looking for any excuse to get rid of him from that point. And as soon as this run of results happened and Tuchel was available, they decided to push that button.
It's gutting because you sort of look at it, and we spoke on the podcast last week. You've seen Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you've seen Arteta have these poor runs of games. And I've had a load of sort of fans from other teams come to me and go, well, it's just same old Chelsea. There's a sentiment within the fans that it was a different era. It was, we're not going to sort of sack Lampard. He's come in and with all intents and purposes been given sort of an impossible task by the board for a Chelsea manager, that is, and come in and still got top four. So he's come in, built from the bottom. He's brought in a huge amount of talent in Reece James, Billy Gilmore, Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, all these sorts of players that would never have got a chance with any other sort of Chelsea manager. And I think sort of as fans, for a number of years, you've just felt like a lot of managers were on a conveyor belt. They had their expiration date, but we were never building that legacy with one particular manager. It was always gutting with some managers you felt more of affinity to, but sort of managers like Sarri, they're massively forgettable and you could sort of ignore that they were even at the club, to be honest. But Lampard's different, sort of top goal scorer for the club, absolute legend in recent times. It's not as though he's sort of forgotten and come back. He's sort of the golden child of the Chelsea era. And he came in, and personally, at the time we were talking, I think we started the podcast at a similar sort of time as the sort of Lampard's first, sort of halfway through his sort of season in that space. But we felt it was probably a too early for him. But he came in and turned it around. Like, he started off with a 4-0 defeat, which is, by all intents and purposes, everyone's like, oh, we've made a bad decision. But to turn it round and get the best out of players like Mason Mount, the players that sort of like Tammy Abraham, and propel us to sort of the fourth spot, and all well and good, we made it hard for ourselves to maintain that spot. But he did the impossible, and then I felt he was almost given an impossible task. He finally was given the war chest to go and spend, and whether the players that he wanted to bring in were the ones that we actually did, or whether that was sort of made by the club itself. He was damned if he spent and he was damned if he didn't, because from having a great season, it's sort of like now it's, oh, now he's maturing. Now he's got to go and spend money and he's got to live and die by these sort of signings. Now, in a club of Chelsea's size, you don't necessarily have the sign off on every single signing. We're going to come in and you are going to ask for particular players, but you're not necessarily going to get your first, second, third sort of opportunity, and equally they're going to bring in players that you might not even want. I think sort of players like Havertz, as well as I think he will be an amazing player for Chelsea, is not necessarily a player that Lampard's looking for, if I'm going to be honest. If you look at the squad he's got someone like Mason Mount already. Why does he need another player in that position? Don't get me wrong, world-class player, you don't turn up an opportunity to sign that, but there are other positions to go and sign. Sort of end of last season, beginning of this season, would you have taken sort of 70 million on a defender or 70 million on an attacker?
Kind of the way that the, you know, clubs are structured now, it seems to be very much like that, because, you know, managers are coming in and out all the time. So rather than giving them the players that they want, they just, the clubs are taking responsibility for that now and building a good squad that managers can do what they want with. I mean, you know, what's the point of Chelsea kind of letting a manager scrap the whole squad, bring in the whole new squad that would do well in his system for him to only last 18 months? And then you're going to have to do the same thing over again. And half of those players probably lost their value in that time. And it just doesn't work that way. It's, you know, the clubs now, they have to do it that way. It's all because, really, you know, this Chelsea method of hiring and firing, like, it's going out of fashion. And, you know, Tuchel's probably going to be there. He's got an 18-month contract. I'd be surprised if it lasted much longer than that. And then the next one will come in. And, you know, it's sad. We can't really ever get attached to any managers. It's just the ruthless business of football these days, unfortunately. But, you know, we got to get behind the new man now. We got to hope that he's the right man to take us forwards. I mean, the first couple of results have been good, so that can only be positive, really.
I mean, it's a nice breath of fresh air to have someone sort of to see the club turn around the sort of the performances that we've had. I think sort of there is a lot of emotion with the fans around sacking someone like Lampard. And personally, to the points we made last week, I felt if the club really wanted to keep him, they would have backed him with a mature assistant manager like a Gusiedink or a sort of someone of that stature to give him that boat. Because those sorts of times, as a manager, you're always going to get a rocky road. You're going to get that point where you're going to have that poor run of form, and it's a matter of how you can go and adapt to it. You look at the likes of Pep, you look at the likes of Klopp, they've all had them, but they've just managed to weather the storm. Chelsea aren't as sort of forgiving in that respect to go and give a manager that much, even when he's literally, I honestly believe someone like Frank could be a world-class manager in time given by. If I look at this pragmatically without a fans hat on, he was brought in too early. It was more convenient for the club than it was for him at the time.
I think anyone else probably really wanted the job at the time either, with transfer ban and only academy players to kind of play with.
Point, he's one of those ones where he came in at the right time for the club, not for him. I think if he had another two seasons at Derby, brought them into the Premier League and then moved in, people would have backed him because they were always challenging the maturity or his understanding of how to play. That was always brought into question, no matter who we were playing, what was happening. Can he do this job? It was just a constant challenge, and that's just because of where he was in his career. If you had the same performance from Tuchel, I think you would have, no one would have challenged it in the media as to sort of his performance. He would have been gone sort of zoned in onto particular players as to how well they're performing for the manager rather than the manager's experience themselves.
Yeah.
So gutting, and then the news of Tuchel got announced on Tuesday. Was the world set on fire? Not in my eyes. As a Chelsea fan, I'm happy to be proved wrong. That's where I'll stand, but I've not seen an amazing sort of career. And don't get me wrong, Chelsea are never going to bring in an inexperienced manager after bringing in an inexperienced manager. But someone like Tuchel inherited Klopp's club, sort of team at Dortmund, did well with them, had a great sort of performance with Dortmund, but I always go back to the fact that he had a very good set of players at the squad already. And then I look at PSG now. To be fair, I feel like I could walk into PSG and still win the league. There's nothing really that special with a PSG manager, and he got sacked by them. Which tells me nothing sort of amazing about what he's done. And I've seen sort of hugely mixed reports in the media. Some saying he's like the next Messiah and the perfect sort of signing for Chelsea. And a lot of sort of articles saying we're not impressed by him and we're not really seeing much from him. I think his performance will let that speak for himself. I just wasn't that impressed when I saw the signs itself. I was gutted the fact that if this had happened a couple of weeks before, we could have got Pochettino himself. And that's who I thought was a better opportunity for us, if I'm going to be honest. But I don't know your thoughts when you heard the news.
Yeah, I think, I said this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I wasn't excited at all by the thought of Tuchel coming in. He's renowned for falling out with the hierarchy at clubs. He did it at Dortmund. He did it at PSG. Just couldn't imagine it being any worse, really, because Chelsea board fall out of everyone. So that was a big concern. I think the more I've kind of watched some of his interviews and kind of read a bit more about his tactical ideas and stuff, it kind of brightened my mood a little bit. I think it's always exciting when a new manager comes in. It's dampened a bit this time by the fact that it was a legend that got sacked in order for that to happen. But I mean, I'm trying my best to just forget about that and concentrate on the new era. And I mean, yeah, as I said, the more I've kind of heard what he's had to say and read about him, he does seem like he could be a good fit for us in terms of the players that we've got fitting into his kind of system. And one thing that I didn't like about the Lampard era, or especially this season, is the fact that he's been very kind of fixed on this one formation, which, you know, we wanted it to work for him, but it didn't. And if he wanted to implement it, he just had to keep playing it. And I understand that. But at the same time, sometimes you need to mix it up for who you're playing, you know, your opposition, and you have to pay attention to what they're doing to try and make the most of their weaknesses. And from what I hear, Tuchel is very flexible with his formations. He will change it. I mean, you know, we saw him, he's already kind of played two formations in the last two games. So I think that's a big positive from him. He speaks very well. He's very charming. I think the media are probably going to like him a lot. He seems quite honest and open in his interviews. So, I mean, that's only...
called in Chilwell, Chilly.
Yeah. So, but I think that's a good thing for the club. You know, if the manager's liked by the media, then they're going to only write kind of positive things about him, and it reflects well on the club. So hopefully less negative stuff from the journalists on us now.
I think sort of personally, he's a gutting sort of week. I think sort of, if I look at it sort of back, it is just, and it's also a worry. My biggest concern with someone like Tuchel is the risk of him not playing some of the youngsters that have come through with Lampard. And I admit, you've got to get that sort of balance between experience and sort of the youngsters in the squad. You can't just have a squad full of youngsters, because we've seen that before and it's never worked perfectly. But you've got players like Gilmore that just aren't sort of now appearing on the squad list anymore in comparison to sort of being there every week with someone like Lampard. You've obviously got someone like Mason Mount that has got such an affinity towards Lampard that's got the real risk of not performing or losing his space to someone like Havertz that maybe have a preference to someone like Tuchel. And then we've seen for the last two games that Reece James hasn't started. Now, he has come on for the last game, but they're all key players that have done so well. And I've got you've got the real risk of somewhat sort of potentially the club selling them. And we have experiences like Lukaku, De Bruyne, Salah, where it just comes back to bite the club. They're great players. We're just not a very good club at nurturing them in the club. And that looked to change with Lampard. I just really hope that they get the chance. I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Gilmore goes out on loan, and probably wherever Lampard goes next, to be honest.
It looks like he's going to go on loan, before, was it today? I don't know. Yeah, it sounds like there's a potential that he could be going out on loan. I don't know who's interested, though. I did hear rumours before of maybe Rangers, which would be a good move for him, especially with the Euros coming up. I think he obviously wants to get some game time to try and get into that Euro squad for Scotland. So, that'd be one to watch over the next day or two.
I mean, to be honest, it's one of those ones where he probably does need to play regularly. Will he play regularly for a manager like Tuchel? Probably not. But it's more some of the more advanced players that have actually got sort of a season under their belt in the Premier League and Champions League that deserve to sort of keep their sort of places in the squad. And I think sort of Reece James, for one, absolutely sort of superstar at the right back. I think he's our right back for the next sort of 5-10 years. Players like Mason Mount, I think he's the next Chelsea captain if we can nurture his talent well enough. I just don't want to see that go to waste, because that's one of the best sort of legacies that Lampard can leave behind, is at least sort of knowing that our sort of academy isn't just a lone revenue source. It's actually that we can play these players and they can compete at the top if you put enough trust in them. I don't know what your thoughts are sort of around Tuchel's first two games. I was bored senseless in the Wolves game, I'm going to be honest.
I think that kind of boiled down to nerves from the players. You know, they wanted to impress, put their name out there to be regular starters under a new manager. It was obviously he hadn't been able to get his any philosophy or anything across to the players yet, because it had only been one training session the night before. So I didn't really read too much into the Wolves game, other than the fact that it looked very much like a possession based style of football, which kind of felt confirmed today. After watching the game today, that was a little bit same. I'm hoping it's a bit better going forward, because the last two games kind of felt like Asari performances, you know, the same as those times, which I just, I don't know if I could sit through that again. That was horrendous that year. And I just really hope it's not the same kind of football, because it's dire to watch. It really is.
It's one of those ones where it just was, you could probably understand it from his perspective in coming in and just retaining possession, playing a completely defensive game, and then just trying to nick a goal here and there when you can. It's not balls out, because at the moment it's not what we need. We just need the results and the bag. But I'm going to be honest, I've not seen his performances at PSG. I've not seen his performances at Dortmund. I can imagine it wasn't the same. I think he's just recognised that the club needs performance, sort of results on the table to sort of get us out of a rut. And that probably is the type of game that gets you those sorts of results. I can only hope it wasn't the same, because it was just a lot of left, right, a little bit forward, left, right, sort of look out to the wing. It was just sort of like, it just wasn't enough to it. But you could see that he understands what we needed. We've been speaking around it for weeks, crying out for Lampard to play five at the back. If we're not defensively sound, throw more players into the mix, because it's the only thing that keeps us sound in that space. And Chelsea know how to play that. I can understand why he's brought in Alonso. Firstly, to bring him out of the cold that Lampard sort of exiled him from. And that was probably one of the reasons that Lampard got exiled. Players like Alonso, players like Kepa, that were forced out of the squad based on falling outs with the manager. Kepa was completely warranted. Alonso was warranted after one of the games, but probably should have been reintegrated at some point, because he can play a good wing back, but we never played that formation for him to get tried. But five at the back just gives us that solid. There's been a few players notably missing from the mix. So Zuma, I personally prefer him to Rudiger. Chilwell, or Chilly, as I now like to call him.
Chilly B.
And James, I think to your point, it's testing out new players in the squad. It's just, I hope that you see the best players come and play in that formation. Zuma is a superior sort of defender, if given the chance. I feel Kante may have been injury today, but...
Yeah, I don't think he was... it was his first game back after an injury, so he's been training, but... They probably just didn't want to risk him. I mean, would you rather him in the game today or to play against Spurs? I think the Spurs game is probably a bit more priority.
Completely agree. I like bringing Dave back in because I don't feel Dave's a sort of map player that was quite ready to be left out in the cold.
Yeah.
But playing a five gives you an ability to play Dave and James in the same squad. It's going to be interesting how he gets the best out of Mount. I feel Mount is one of those players that's going to be deeply hurt by Lampard leaving and probably just needs a bit of time to
adapt
to the whole piece. So it was nice to see him start.
He was very good again today, though. I think, you know, when he came on against Wolves, he was brilliant. But and then again today, he was just running the show, really. Still wouldn't say he was man of the match, but I think he was really, really good.
Hudson-Odoi. It's a bit of a masterclass putting him as right wing back, because he's not probably our best winger, but playing him in a position like that with that level of pace is an interesting. I mean, it reminds me of Victor Moses a couple of seasons ago under sort of Conte, playing someone who is traditionally a right wing back that's not the best in the world, but playing him as a right wing back actually brings out a better sort of performance to his game. That's been a sort of a breath of fresh air.
I think that really plays to Hudson-Odoi's strengths as well, because he likes to get chalk on his boots. You know, he likes to stick really, really wide. So playing that position up and down the wings, getting crosses in, I think, especially if we're playing against teams that are going to sit back and defend like we have done in the last two games, that's going to be really good. It's going to really work. But I think, you know, when we come up against teams who have got a bit more going forward and might actually push us, I think you might see Reece James kind of... come in and into that position for those kind of games.
And then this is not sort of two shells for what I thought of. Werner is still not quite there. He seems to be getting into the right positions, but not quite. He was getting frustrated the first half of today's game. It was almost sort of, how can I take a shot from anywhere just to try and get some confidence that the keeper sort of, I can actually pull a shot off. I think that's just going to be time rather than anything else. And I don't think it's something you take him out of the squad to do. It's play him until he can get a goal. It was gutting that he didn't get the penalty a few weeks back, just to sort of show he can score again. But that confidence has been clearly knocked. But I'd say class is permanent. Form is temporary. So we'll see that. But it's not been... It's been good to see the results. We're going to see a lift in certain players. As you say, it's just, I hope it's just not boring football. That would be a killer. It'll be interesting, I think, to say the least. I think sort of, as you say, I don't see him as a long-term manager, which is never great coming in as a manager, but I think he'll do a job.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the next couple of games. So Spurs at the weekend, big game. They are currently, as we sort of film this podcast, 1-0 down to Brighton. They've had an inconsistent run of form, and equally they're missing their talisman up front. It's going to be an interesting game because Mourinho now knows he sort of needs another pelt, sort of, to try and sort of win one over on Chelsea. And he's got another manager to do that with. Be interesting to see what he can do in that space. It's going to be an interesting game. As you say, I think it's going to be a completely different lineup to the Burnley game and probably the Wolves game. I'm looking forward to that game, to be honest. It's going to be very much sort of a... Who can sort of...
Nervy one, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very nervy before that, I think, on Thursday. Jesus.
It's a game that could go either way, I think is the honest sort of opinion there. It could be sort of Mourinho masterclass and sort of out sort of masterminds sort of with his players he knows. I think Mourinho will go heavily defensive on this game and try and hit us on the counter-attack with Son and maybe Bale. I don't know who they're playing at the moment, but with
Bale's out, playing.
It doesn't give them a huge amount of options down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to see how Tuchel comes up against a top six club or whatever sort of group of numbers we want to say now, because top six doesn't mean anything anymore. And then personally, after that, we've got a nice run of games to build a bit of confidence. So Sheffield United, who are starting to turn their season around, but could equally be put sort of back in their box. Barnsley in the fifth round, I think you'll see a lot of players rested, if I'm going to be honest. And then you've got Newcastle, Southampton, and then Atletico Madrid into sort of the latter parts of February, which is then immediately followed 5 days later by Man United.
Mm-hmm.
So an interesting run of games. I think sort of personally, ignoring Thursday's game, the Sheffield United, Barnsley, Newcastle and Southampton is confidence building. If we can win all three, four of those, that gets us into the position of what a huge amount of points are into the next round of the FA Cup. Potentially that will have turned Werner's sort of scoring sort of chances and sort of turn around a 12 game sort of no score sort of records. That grows us into an Atletico Madrid game and then equally sort of sets us up for Manchester United, because I still think Manchester United have got another blip in them, if I'm going to be honest. I don't really see them winning the league. They don't have the muster, if I'm going to be honest. I think Ollie's just been lucky.
Very, very.
I think you'll see City and Liverpool compete for the top two spots, and then from third to sort of seventh, it's open season.
Open, very open, yeah.
What are your thoughts? What are your predictions for sort of Tottenham game and anything else you want to comment on for that?
Tottenham game, I think we'll start to see Tuchel's kind of idea for a main starting 11, you know, his ideal team. I think he won't risk learning about the players like he has done the last couple of games. He won't risk that for a game like Tottenham. I think you'll see someone like Pulisic starting, someone he knows, he's worked with, he trusts. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, again, a fairly experienced lineup, but you will see someone like Mason Mount in there, because I think it showed against Wolves, we just can't play without him. And I wouldn't be surprised if you might see Reece James come in for Hudson-Odoi in that kind of game, because again, you don't really want to test, and let's find out if Hudson-Odoi can defend when you come up against Spurs. That's really not as a, you know, as a Chelsea player, that's not the game you want to test out. So I think you might see Reece James coming back in for that one.
I think you'll see five at the back still, if I'm going to be honest.
I wouldn't mind Alonso playing. He loves a goal against Spurs, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I could see him keeping him in based on current form. But equally, I can see Chilwell sort of chomping at the bit to be back into the squad. I think you'll see, to your point, I think it might be Alonso James. I think he'll keep the back line that he kept today. I don't feel he'll trust Zouma enough to bring him in, if I'm going to be honest. I think you'll probably see an inverted sort of middle five, in the fact that you might have a Kovacic or a Kante. I don't know whether you play a Jorginho in that space, but then play Mount slightly forward and then a Pulisic. It'd be interesting to hear who he'd put on the wing in that space. And then I think sort of he'll keep either a Tammy up front. I don't think he'll trust Werner, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think he'll.
But it's been an interesting week, I think, sort of, if I'm going to be honest. It's taken me and emotionally sort of drained me.
Roller coaster.
We'll have to see how the rest of the week goes. I'm hoping for at least a draw on Thursday, if not better. But it seems a little bit more positive. It always does with a new manager. I hope he can prove me wrong. This is probably the final statement I'll make. And you know, you stay classy, Chelsea fans. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit the bell notifications.